ಸಯತ್ರ ಅಯಂ ಆತ್ಮ ಅವಲ್ಯಂ ನಿತ್ಯ ಸಮೋಮಯ ನಿತ್ಯ ಅಥ ಏನವೇತಿ ಪ್ರಾಣ ಅಭಿಸಮಯಂತಿ ಏತಾ ತೇಜೋ ಮಾತ್ರ ಸನದ್ಯಾರ್ದಾನ ಹೃದಯಮೇವ ಅನ್ವಕ್ರಾಮತಿ. ಇಟ್ ಇಸ್ ಸೆಡ್ ದಟ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಎನರ್ಜೀಸ್ ಗೆಟ್ ಸೆಂಟರ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಹಾರ್ಟ್, ದ ಬ್ರೈನ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಸ್ಟಾಪ್ ಫಂಕ್ಷನಿಂಗ್, ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ನೋ ಥಿಂಕಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ಯಾಕಲ್ಟಿ ಎಟ್ ದಟ್ ಟೈಮ್. The breathing becomes slow. Sometimes there is a heaving just at the time of the exit. But otherwise, naturally, there is a slowing of the breath on account of the withdrawal of the activity of the prana from the various parts of the body. And what happens then, when the energy gets centered in the heart? Yatra esha chakshura purusha parang paryavartate atha arupajnyo bhavati. The Purusha in the eye withdraws himself and goes back to the sun. The ambassador goes back to the center which has defeated him for a particular purpose. Then what happens? The connection between the eye and the sun is snapped. Then there is no seeing. So even if the eyes are open, there is no seeing at that time. Arupajna bhavati, he cannot cognize forms. If people stand before him, he cannot recognize who the person is. Generally, when a person is about to depart, people get excited over it. They become anxious. They want to know whether he is really conscious or not. So, someone comes near him and asks, "Do you know who I am? Can you recognize me?" He cannot recognize, he cannot see also, because his force, which is the eye, has been withdrawn. So he is keeping the eyes open physically, but sees nothing. Eki bhavati. It becomes one with the center. That is why this particular function of seeing ceases. Na pashyati tyahuhu eki bhavati. People say, "Oh, he doesn't see. He cannot recognize me." The reason why he cannot recognize and cannot see is because the eye has got back to the center. So, the particular function of it has stopped. Eki bhavati, na pashyati kyaho. Eki bhavati, na jigrati kyaho. Olfactory sense also gets withdrawn. So you cannot smell. The smelling activity ceases. Eki bhavati narasete ityahu. The sense of taste also gets withdrawn. And even if you pour sugar into the on the tongue of a dying man, he cannot feel that taste. Eki bhavati na vadati tyaho. The force of speaking, agni tattva, gets withdrawn into its source. Then he cannot speak. Likewise he cannot hear. Likewise he cannot think. Likewise he cannot understand. Eki bhavati na manute tyaho. Eki bhavati na prasiddhi tyaho. Eki bhavati na vijanati tyaho. He cannot touch, he cannot think, he cannot smell, he cannot hear, he cannot understand. Then what happens afterwards? When all these energies, senses, pranas, etc. are gathered up in the center of the heart, what happens? Hridayasya agram prasyotate. There is a flash of light, as it were, spurting forth through some part of the heart. That is the only consciousness that he has. Not the consciousness of body, not the consciousness of sense activity, not the consciousness of people around, objects around, etc. there is only a feeble, meager, failing self-consciousness. That too is about to fail. He cannot even feel that he exists. But that meager self-consciousness is of the nature of a very fine flame of lamp light, as it were, which illumines a corner of the heart. Hridayasya agram pradyotate tena pradyotena eha atma nishkramati. That spurt of light in a particular part of the heart, which projects itself through some orifice of the heart, is the passage of the soul. Through that, the prana departs. And it can depart through any part of the body. Esha atma nishkramati chakshushova murdhrova anyebhyova sharira deshebhya. It can rise up through the head sometimes, or through the eyes, or through any other part of the body. The belief is that if the prana departs through the crown of the head, one reaches Brahmaloka. But if one passes through the eyes, one goes through the sun, and so on and so forth. If it is a vertical movement, it is supposed to be the indication of ascending to a higher region. But if it is a horizontal movement or a downward motion, then it is supposed to be a descent to the lower worlds or to this particular world itself. Tamutkramantam prana anutkramati. When the center of consciousness, which is in the form of this little light, rushes out of this body, the prana goes with it. When the prana goes, all the energies of senses also get gathered up together. Pranam anutkramantam sarve prana anutkramanti sa vijnanubhavati. Now this word vijnanubhavati as a special sense, it seems to imply that there is a feeble consciousness of the future state, that is vijnana. There is a total unconsciousness of the previous condition. One loses touch with the earlier body, and there is therefore no connection with the previous life at all. Inasmuch as the senses have been withdrawn from the previous body, there is no recognition of the previous world, the previous relations, the previous society, etc., etc. There is a tendency to recognize the presence of a new atmosphere. That is the functioning of the vijnana. The intellect slowly peeps out into action. When there is a possibility of a fresh materialization, that is the preparation for a new birth, sa vijnana bhavati. Sa vijnana mevanva anna kramati tam vidya karmani samanvara bhete pura prajnata. When there is such a departure of this individual, something must be going with the individual. What is it that goes with us when we leave this world and enter the other world? Do we take something when we go? We have lot of property, many possessions and acquisitions. We have cherished many values in life. Do they all come with us? The Upanishad has a simple answer to this question. Whatever knowledge has become part of your life, that will come with you. Not the knowledge that is in the books or in the libraries. This knowledge is not going to come with you. The knowledge which has become part of your actual daily life, through which you have been thinking and working, that knowledge will come with you. and the action that has also become a part of your very life itself, not merely an externally compulsive action, but an action that is voluntary, of your own accord, you have done it, and you like it, you feel a meaning in it, it is your action, you have done it with a purpose, that action will produce a result in a very fine form. And that form which is very fine is called apurva, something very invisible. It is energy, and that comes with you. The impressions which have been accumulated by the mind by various top sorts of perceptions, cognitions, etc., called vasanas or samskaras, they come with the individual. So it is a psychic complex that actually departs the body. So whatever is our mind in its complex state, that goes with its own constituents. Nothing extraneous will come with it. We cannot take anything from this world which has not become a part and parcel of our own minds, our own feelings. That is the meaning of saying that which has become part of your life will come with you. Nothing else comes with you. Many things that are in this world which cannot be regarded as part of our life, they are extraneous appurtenances. They do not come with us. But that which is absorbed into our own life by the feelings, that will come with us. There is an activity, as we observed, taking place in the other realm at the time of the departure from this body. This is compared to the activity of a caterpillar or a leech when it moves from one leaf to another leaf or one spot to another spot on a particular leaf. What it does is, it presses its hind part and then projects its fore part forward. That is the movement of the leech or the caterpillar. Then it fixes the fore part on the leaf and then withdraws the hind part. Then fixes the hind part again by drawing it backwards. Then projects the forward part. Like that it goes on moving. So it will not lift the hind part unless the fore part is fixed. So likewise, tadyatha trinajalayuka trinasyantam gatva anyamatram akramya atmanam upasamharati evameva ayam atma. The body is not left unless proper arrangement is already made there. When you go on a journey, you do not suddenly go. You already become aware as to where you are going and what arrangements have been made there for your staying, etc., such a place which is your destination by previous correspondence, by previous arrangement, etc. Likewise, even without your consciously thinking of the destination, forces of nature begin to work for you. They spontaneously work. And that preparation that is being made there to receive you in another realm is the foot that you have kept already before you have lifted the other foot from this world. It is not a physical foot that you have placed, but a feeler which has connected you with the future realm in a very subtle manner. This shows the interconnectedness of things. We are not cast into the wind by forces who have no knowledge of us, but everything is connected with us, and all the forces of nature keep a watch over us, and exactly in the manner in which it is necessary for us to have experiences in a future life, in that particular corresponding manner alone do the forces of nature work. Nothing more and nothing less. Idam shariram nihati avidyam gamayitva ayam akramam akramya atmanam upasamharati. Just as a goldsmith takes a little gold from here and a little gold from that side, puts these pieces of gold into a melting pot, boils the pieces and makes them one lump, gives a new shape to this lump which has been formed out of the various pieces of gold that he has collected from various places. A new body is formed out of the material collected from nature. Tadyatha peshaskari peshaso matram adaya anyannavataram kalyanataram rupam tanute. Evameva ayamatma idam shariram nihatya vidyam yamitva anyannavataram kalyanataram rupam kurute pitriyam va gandharvam va daivam va prajapatyam va brahmam va anyesham va bhutanam. The goldsmith does not create a new gold. He only creates a new shape of the gold by melting it in a furnace. That is how he prepares ornaments, etc. Likewise, the material forces are the same. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. These are the elements out of which bodies are formed. The present body is made up of these elements. The future body also will be made up of the same elements. A carpenter can arrange pieces of wood in such a way that these pieces can form a chair. He can arrange these pieces of wood in another form and it can become a table. He can convert these pieces into a box, etc., etc. The carpenter can arrange these pieces of wood in various ways according to the need or the requirement of the time. But the wood is the same. It is not a new wood that he is using. Likewise, it is the same elements that work wherever you go, whatever be the birth you take, and whichever be the shape the soul assumes in its new incarnation. Even if it is a very highly elevated state, such as of a Gandharva or a Pitra or a celestial in the paradise, even if such a lustrous body is to be assumed by the soul, it is nothing but material. It is formed of these elements only by the action of their finer essences. When they are gross, they look like the bodies that we have. When they are fine, they begin to be transparent like glass, for instance. You know, even glass is made up of matter. It is as much material as a lump of iron or a hard brick. But glass shines. It is transparent. Light can pass through it because of the fineness of the structure. Notwithstanding the fact that glass is made up of the same matter as a hard brick is. So, one can take any form, reborn in any shape. Maybe a Gandharva, a celestial. You may even go to the realm of Hiranyagarbha, where the subtlest form of matter begins to operate as tanmatras, as we call them, not this physical shape of the elements. any other form the soul can take, it can adjust and readjust the material elements according to the need which is indicated by the nature of the mind which actually reincarnates. Sava ayam atma brahma vijnanamayo manomaya pranamaya chakshurmaya shrotramaya prathimaya apumayo vayumaya akashamaya tejomayo atejomaya kamamayo akamamaya krodhamayo akrodhamaya karmamaya adharmamaya sarvamaya tat yadetad idam mayo adomaya iti. The Upanishad gives in its own beautiful style the way in which the soul can assume various forms, psychic as well as physical. First, there is the manifestation of the intellect, that is the jiva bhava or the individuality in us. The root of individuality is the intellect, and it broadens itself into the mind, the pranas, the senses, etc. Then lastly, the physical body. It is not the physical body that is manufactured first. The intellect is manufactured first. The cause comes first, the effect comes afterwards. The subtlest cause is the intellect principle. Then there is a grosser one, the mind. Then the grosser one, the prana. Then the senses. Then the physical body. All this takes place in a very inscrutable manner. It does not mean that the intellect is there as clearly observing things as it does when it is very active in a physical body after rebirth. It is in a very potential state, as the tree is present in a seed, but yet the manifestation of it is supposed to be prior to the manifestation of the other things, namely prana, body, etc. So there is vijnana or the intellect, the mind, the prana, the senses. Then the physical body constituted of the five elements, earth, water, fire, air and ether. Prithvimaya, apomaya, vayumaya, akashamaya. But if you take birth in a subtle realm like paradise, you are reborn in Indraloka, then your body will shine like fire. It won't be a gross body like this, but a very subtle one. Then it is tejomaya, lustrous, and it is ethereal in its form. The individual, whether it is reborn in the physical world or in any other realm, has certain desires. And so it can be said to be kamamaya. It is filled with desire of some kind or the other. It may be a necessary desire or an unnecessary desire. It may be a liberating desire or a binding desire. It may be a visible desire or an invisible desire. That is immaterial, but it must be there. Otherwise, the individuality itself cannot be there. Sometimes these desires get withdrawn at the time of fulfillment, and then kamamaya becomes akamamaya. You appear to have no desire when the desire has been fulfilled by the particular acquisition of the corresponding object of desire. But if the desire is not going to be fulfilled, it is going to be frustrated by the impediment imposed upon you by certain external factors, then you become krodhamaya. You get angry. You are annoyed that some obstacle is coming in the way of the fulfillment of the desire. But when that obstacle is removed, then your anger subsides. Then you become akrodhamaya. There is no anger at that time. Then once again you develop your usual normal attitude. It is the cause of your dharma mayatva and adharma mayatva. The virtuous or unrighteous or vicious way in which one lives depends upon the way in which one's desires operate in the world. Whether they work in a constructive manner or a destructive manner. If they are constructive, then the individual is dharmamaya, full of virtue. But they are destructive, then it is adharmamaya, supposed to be filled with viciousness. It is everything. Sarvamaya, idammaya, adomaya. The individual has potentialities for anything. There is nothing which this personality does not contain. It is a small miniature of the entire creation. Whatever you can find anywhere in the whole cosmos, that you can find inside this body, in a subtle form, in a seed form. So, this individual is verily a great marvel. The whole mystery of creation is revealed in a microcosmic form in this individuality. So the whole miracle of life is carried forward in all the process of reincarnation, birth and death, and whatever one feels, that one thinks. Whatever one thinks, that one speaks. Whatever one speaks, that one does. Whatever one does, that one reaps. This is what the Upanishad sums up in respect of its doctrine of ethical conduct and the psychological effect which our present state of life has upon the future incarnation of ours. Yathakari yathachari tatha bhavati, sadhukari sadhur bhavati, papakari papi bhavati, punya punyan karmana, etc. Whatever is your inclination within, whatever be the direction your feelings take, that would be the realm that you reach, that would be the kind of experience that you will have in the future life. Hari Om Tat Sat.